well it picks up sound. So, okay. Well, let me start with just asking you some personal, some questions about your growing up here in Mooresville.
All right.
Let's see. So, you attended public school here in Mooresville?
Yes, I attended the Mooresville Grade School District.
Okay. And it was always the city districts.
Legislation have a special tax for the support, to aid in the support mm-hmm. of the Mooresville Graded School District.
And let's see, so at the time that you went to school, was there a separate elementary and junior high?
That's correct. When I went to school, there was a elementary, and then we moved from elementary to the seventh grade, which was in the high school facility.
High school facility. Okay. Okay. So now that's not the high school that is it the same high school that's
no,
still operating
no,
now?
No, okay. It's not the same high school.
Okay.
No.
Okay. And was it more located towards downtown?
It was located exactly where Mitchell Community College is located
okay.
today.
Okay.
And it was built there
mm-hmm.
in 1905.
That was built in 1905. Okay. And your children went to public school here in Mooresville?
My children, I have three children, and they all went to schools here and graduated here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all went to college and then to graduate school and so
mm-hmm.
on.
All right. I have been doing some reading about Mooresville and had been reading about Dunbar. Which is the school where most of the black children in Mooresville would have attended. Now, was that was originally located near the railroad tracks? That was what they had
yes,
said.
Yes, that's true. I will give you the complete history
okay.
of Dunbar.
That would be you. I'd love that. That would be wonderful.
I will do that whenever I make my statement. And
okay.
I was just going to give you the
that's fine.
And give you the complete history and the background and
that
how
be,
it came about.
That would be wonderful if you would.
Yes,
know.
Ma'am.
Thank you.
Would you like to do that now, or would you like for me to go back to the actual time when the legislation was passed? For
maybe we can go ahead and start with the history, and then we can come up to the legislation.
Okay.
I
well,
think that'd be best.
First, you mean play that back again?
Yeah, you can go ahead and tell me about the history, and then we could come up to the legislation.
Well, I was going to use the legislation because this fell in after
okay.
the legislation.
All right. Okay. Well, that would be fine
okay.
then. That would
All
be
right.
fine.
Well, just let me start. And
okay.
what I have done here for your use is I have researched the minutes
oh.
Of the Board of Education and all during this era. On June the 4th, 1965, at the Board of Education meeting, a motion was made by Mr. Brawley, Dr. Brawley, and second by Mr. Dalton, that the board approve the revision of the plan of compliance
mm-hmm.
with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and instruct the superintendent to submit copies of the State Department of Public Instruction in Raleigh, North Carolina, and to the Health, Education, and Welfare Departments in Washington, D.C. Now that was June 4, 1965. On March 7, 1966, on a motion by Cruz, seconded by Tyner, the board unanimously approved the action authorizing the chairman of the board, R.H. Baker, Jr., to sign form HEW-441-B entitled Assurance of Compliance with the Revised Statement of Policy for School Desegregation Plans under Title V of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And this is, as you will see, is where we were completely complying with this law. Then on May the 27th, 1968, a motion was made by the board and approved for the following assignments for students for the school year 1968 and 1969. Number one, all 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students would be at senior high school. All 7th, 8th, and 9th grade students at the junior high. Mm-hmm. All 5th, 6th grade students at Dunbar, mm-hmm. which was your black school.
Right.
All students previously attending Parkview in grades 1, 2, 3 will remain at Parkview. Mm-hmm. All beginners who attended the preschool conference at Parkview will attend Parkview School. So this is just in integrating the complete operation. Now, we had at this time during this on March the 6th, 1972, a group of people in the black community began dreaming and following the Negro History Week observance, an idea that came into being. Mm-hmm. After finding out that Professor N.F. Woods, who was a principal, would be leaving the Mooresville school system following this year after serving here for more than 35 years. This length of time in service is very seldom found. First, the minorities, the black, we would like to ask the Mooresville Board of Education to take a look at this service and place some appraisal upon it and come up with an answer to our request. Second, we're asking the Mooresville Board of Education to change the name of Dunbar School to Norris F. Woods Elementary School of Mooresville, North Carolina, and let us know at the earliest date, at least by the next board meeting. Third, a move like this one requested would really support what we have been saying so many years in words. This would turn our words into deeds. Fourth, this would give some hope to those boys and girls who will need it in the years to come. Your concentration with this request would be highly appreciated and giving meaning to the living of many of us. This was signed by Norris Graham, Reverend Ramsco Ramsey, Mrs. Mary H. Byers, Mr. Terry Graham, Reverend J. E. McKenzie, Mrs. Mildred Sharp, and Mr. Edwards Graham. Now this was a group of blacks that came to the board. Okay. Now, I think at this time we need to put you the history of Woods Elementary. The first Negro school in the Mooresville administrative unit was located near the junction.
Okay.
It was built in the early 1900s. This building was a two-story, four-room frame structure. Later, a two-room addition was made. This building served the community of Mooresville for 38 years. In 1941, Dunbar School was completed on West McClellan Avenue. Additions of a cafeteria and six classrooms were made in 1957, 1959, in 1964 to take care of the needs of the high school program at the school. Mr. N.F. Woods was principal and continued to be principal for 35 years. This was a town's school for black children. In 1968, Dunbar was a union school offering grades 1 through 12. With full integration of the races in the fall of 1968, Dunbar became an elementary school for 5th and 6th grade students. Early in 1968, Dunbar School became, by order of the Bourbon Board of Education, N.F. Woods School. N.F. Woods Elementary School. And presently, N.F. Woods Elementary School, or it doesn't today, but it then housed 6th grade classes, 8th, 5th grade classes, 5 special classes, and 2 ESA and Title I reading classes. So as you see what happened, the Board of Education complied with the request of the black community and changed the name of the school to Woods. Today, Woods School is a highly technical school located in our high school, and it has a number of technical classes and students that are there each and every day. And it has received a lot of recognition academically for some of the programs that take place there, such as nursing assistants and television programs. They have their own television station. They do all of this, take all of it. As well as they also have a area there for things like brick masonry and these type of things.
So they do some vocational.
Technical vocational school. But basically, this is the what happened during the integration program. I mean, not program, but you know, when it was at that time. And I, at that time, had children in the public schools here, and there was no actions of violence or so on. Nobody, you know, got excited. They just blended right into one, and it has worked out very, very successful. And we have black principals, we have black assistant principals, we have blacks in administrative, we have blacks in our faculty, and everything really functions very well. And this seems to be the basic problems.
We've been reading a book about, you know, all of the problems that they had in Charlotte.
Yes,
at that time. What I was wondering where whether, you know, parents and members of the administration here, kind of how that was perceived, or how, you know,
by Charlotte.
How you all saw it here. Were you worried perhaps that things like that would happen in Mooresville because it had happened in Charlotte? Or
at that time, you have to realize there was not as close a relationship as it is today. Mm-hmm. You know, this growth of the lake and all of these, and actually, Mooresville and all, and we're just right together, you know. Mm-hmm. But then it was 27 miles, it didn't trickle back and forth as it does today. Mm-hmm. And then I do know that we would see what was going on in Alabama and Mississippi and these other places. But basically, a small community of this size, we did not. Whereas there are a lot of small communities that I must truthfully say have a lot of southern rednecks, and I'm a southerner. But here again, blended right in with it, and it was very successful. And we have a good relationship in this community with the black community, you know. And I think it was very, you know, a very successful move that was determined at that time and legislated.
When at the school board meeting that you were discussing, where the decision came down, did it, or was there a perception in the community that there was kind of the attitude being that this is here and we're going to handle it in this way? In other words, just an acceptance and a
It was legislated. It was federal law,
right.
And as I read here, the federal laws, and needless to say. Basically had to comply,
right, right.
And so it was done, and the board approved it. And the history of this community has always been a pretty much of a, you know, comply and try to do right,
right,
by all concerned. And as I have said previously here, there is a very good relationship in this community between the blacks and the whites.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's worked very satisfactory.
Mm-hmm. Is there, let's see, I'm trying to think of another question. I totally lost my train of thought right now. So today, about, or at the time that the integration occurred, what can you, or maybe have a general idea of what the percentage of black students that would have become integrated? In other words, was the school, and how
dominated?
No,
I think basically it's about 20%.
Right now, it's about 20%.
Yeah, and it's always been a basically that 19-18%,
mm-hmm.
And in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, like I say, I don't know of any real redneck actions.
In conflicts.
Yeah, conflicts, mm-hmm. You know. And, you know, most people just went as is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know of any, you know, great problems. And because, for instance, we always attend the NAACP banquet, and we always, you know, have an open mind about things and such things as that.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I say it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would just like to add? Anything that you would like to revisit?
To this thing, let me say this, that one of the main objectives of the Mooresville Graded School District has been the pursuit of academic excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And that we mean this academic excellence for all people, all races. And we have had minorities in this community that have graduated from the finest schools and universities. Davidson,
right.
Yes, we have a young fella, and we've tried to, you know, and also we have other races here now other than the black.
Right.
We have the Asians,
the
Asians, and we do have some Hispanics,
mm-hmm.
And so what I'm trying to basically say is, you know, we have no problems with this, but we do plan to strive and compete for our goals of academic excellence, and that's, you know, and it does pay off. Don't ever tell us that a minority cannot become highly educated, because
sure,
they can,
sure.
And so, you know, everything works mm-hmm. out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I must truthfully say, I am a native Southerner, and my family were in the Civil War and all these types of things too. So, but we understand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So basically, that's about it. I mean, we didn't have anything to really tell you that we did during this era that would, you know, stir up a fire.
That's certainly all right, though. History isn't always about stirring up a fire. Definitely not. No.
But everything has worked out real satisfactory. And I'll be happy. I've got you a copy here of these notes and so on, and you can read through them. And I have them circled on the dates when these different comments took place. And this is just some board minutes that we have done, you know.
Tell me again. So you were on this. You served on the school board in the 70s, or?
I went on the school board in 1973.
Okay.
And of course, this was after the integration situation.
Right.
Okay. But.
And you had been, your employment is outside of the school district, or?
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. I'm not employed by the schools
at
all.
Okay.
In other words, I work for one of the largest chemical companies in the world, ICI.
Wow. Okay.
And and I have worked in Europe and, you know, so on. So,
okay.
But no.
Okay.
And I came on the board in 73, and basically my reason for going on the board is, at that time, I had a bone to pick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming from a small town myself, I know that. Yeah.
You know, having a child in school, and you know, you want to see this and that and other, and so on and so on. But I think everything has been, and we have, and I'm going to be honest with you, have received a lot of national recognition for our academic excellence, in which we do strive for.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, as I say, a unique school system in that our forefathers in 1905 got this legislation that whereby we could tax and, mm-hmm. and keep the school, run by the community and so on.
That's, in Roanoke Rapids, where I grew up, we have a city. I went to the city schools.
Okay, yeah. Roanoke Rapids. Yeah. There are two.
There's not many left.
There are two in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Moreville and Roanoke Rapids.
I think
you're from Roanoke Rapids, and you know what I'm saying.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
it's a very different feel.
Yeah.
Because I think that when a county system is sometimes, I don't know, I think it's a little more detached. I think it's harder to feel like you can make a difference. And do that. So
you sure can.
And I was looking at I was setting some statistics last semester about I was actually looking at school district spending in the state, but looked from 91 to 96, those years, and it was amazing how many of the city school districts had closed mm-hmm. during those 5 years. I think there's definitely been an effort to consolidate.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the consolidation actually the politicians get together and say, well, we need to consolidate, but basically it has not been successful as far as the academics go or cost.
Right. That's the argument that people always make, is that it's the cost.
Yeah, they say that, but and I could make a statement, but I'm not without it.
Well, I can pause it. That's not a problem. I apologize for not mentioning that earlier. We can pause it.